Well, hello, everybody. How's it going? It's just another afternoon in Nashville when we all play our guitars. State law. Well, thank you for joining me today. My name is Burke Holland, and I want to talk with you about the question that I know that's probably been burning in your mind and your soul all day. That question that keeps you up at night. That's not the question. What is an API? I think this is an important topic to discuss because I had a really hard time with this when I first started programming. I was around during the jQuery days when jQuery first came out, and jQuery had an API. And I was working with .NET, although poorly. And it also had an API. And then all of these services like GitHub also said they had APIs. And these are three entirely different things. And it became very confusing to me to understand exactly what an API was. It seemed like everything was an API, but how can everything be an API? If everything's an API, then nothing's an API. It's very confusing. So let's just start at the start. Just begin at the beginning. An API is an application programming interface. It's an acronym. For some reason, in computer science, we can't do anything without acronyms. You'll see a lot of them. It is yet another acronym. This is not super helpful in understanding what an API is. So let's make it worse. What does Wikipedia have to say? I'm going to read it out loud just so you can be as confused as I was. An application programming interface is a computing interface which defines interactions between multiple software intermediaries. They said at a party to look very cool. Now, I point this out because one of the things that I want you to take away from this session is that topics that seem complicated usually aren't. It's usually that just that they're being explained in language that you don't understand. This is a great example of that. And I bet you don't understand it because I don't understand it. So my goal with this session is to break this down into language that you can easily understand. I read a book once called Making It Stick. And the idea in the book is that you need an analogy for any concept, an analogy that you already understand. So for instance, if you wanted to pitch the movie Alien to a Hollywood studio, you could try to explain what it is, or you could just say it's like Jaws on a spaceship. And that's a concept that maybe the studio could understand, and they would make your movie, and it would be terrifying. That movie is terrifying. So let me break it down to a concept that you might be able to understand. Think about how your plumbing works. When you need water, you go to the sink. You turn the handle and water comes out. You don't really have much of an idea about how the water got there. I mean, you know that it came from pipes that are in the wall or the floor or somewhere, but you don't know where they go or what they look like or how the water got to those pipes or where the water came from to begin with. The sink is the API between you and the water and the pipes. And the plumbing, it's how you interact with your plumbing and with your water. So I want to rephrase this whole API thing a different way and define it like this. It's the way that your code talks to other code or services. Feel free to plagiarize that and make me famous on the internet. I would appreciate it. There are three types of APIs that I want to cover today. There are your code. Your code's an API. You build APIs. You may not realize you're building APIs, but you probably are. There's other people's code, libraries, dependencies that people have created that you're using. And then there's web services, which are also a kind of API. So those are the three main kind of APIs that I want to cover today and look at in depth. Okay. Have we seen enough slides? Are we good? Yeah, I like the steering wheel analogy too. That's pretty good. No, I know that you're not idiots. I'm explaining it from the start. Not everyone knows what an API is. And honestly, it did take me a long time to wrap my head around what an API is, and even longer to wrap my head around how to not get text to wrap in PowerPoint, as I'm missing an O. Okay, so let's jump over and take a look at what an API is. So I'm going to start at the very beginning here. Now, let's say that you're writing some code. And let's say, for instance, that you're going to write some code to reverse a string. So maybe we have a variable called message that says hello world, because apparently that's the only thing you can do in demos. We want to reverse that string. The string by default in JavaScript has an API, and this is it. These are all of the different things that you can do with a string. But there's no reverse method, okay? So maybe you want to create a method to reverse your string. So you might do that. I don't know, how could we do that? We could create a function, right? And call it reverse. And then we could take in some sort of an argument here. Let's say it's the message. And then what's the quickest way to reverse a string? Maybe like this, and then we could split it, right? Which would split it, make it into an array if we split it like this. And then maybe we could then take this and reverse it, which is an array method. And then maybe we could join it back together. Maybe this would work, okay? And then we could call this function, right? And reverse our message here. Pass in, we'd have to change this. This won't work. But oftentimes when you write code, you don't put it all in the same file. What you wanna do is you wanna split this out, right? And so maybe you create a whole block of code. Maybe it's a different file, right? And let's call that file, I don't know, maybe you call it utils.js. And then inside of that utils, let's say that you create a snippet to do that. Let's grab our snippet. Snippets. Let's call it utils. Utils. Oh, my snippets are not working. No suggestions. All right. So what you might do is you might do module.exports and then some sort of an object. And then inside of that, you might have a function called reverse, which takes in a message. And then it reverses that message in here. We're going to reverse the string. Okay. And then what you can do then is you can take this and you can import it into your code. So it would be like const utils equals require, and then utils like this. And then, because VS Code is so good, we should be able to see that there is now a reverse method on the object. So at this point, we've created a utils method with an API. So this is our code, and we've now created an API. So this is how APIs would be in the code that you write. But there's code that you use that other people write too. We're using JavaScript, so let's open the terminal and let's install something. Maybe like, I don't know, Lodash or underscore? Lodash or underscore? Isn't that always the question? Let's do Lodash. So we'll install Lodash, and Lodash is a dependency that someone else wrote. And in fact, I believe his name is John David Dalton. With the help of many open source contributors, I'm sure. But Lodash, how do we use that? Well, if we pull in Lodash here, you see that it has an API, and these are all the different things that it can do. And so this is the API that you might use with other people's code. All right, but sometimes, a lot of times, you might use an API to interact with a service, such as a database, MySQL, Postgres, MongoDB. In my case, I have a database. Let me show it to you. It's here. Databases. This is a Cosmos DB database. It's right here. And it's got some products in it, products and brands. Very, very exciting database. Now, what we want to do is get the data out of this database and create an API to do that. So how do we do that? Well, first, we're going to need some code to get at this database. And so Cosmos DB has an API that you can install. And I happen to know what it is. So we can install npm I, which is short for install. I probably should be specific about that. And then Azure Cosmos. And this is us installing the Cosmos DB API. We don't need quotes. Let's do that. We're installing the Cosmos API here. Blazing fast internet today. I love it. And now we can use that. So how do we use it? Let's bring it in. Cosmos equals require Azure Cosmos. Okay. Now let's start to build this up a little bit. So we need a new client, a Cosmos client. So let's get a client going. Client equals Cosmos. Oh, you know what? We need a new Cosmos client. And you can see we are using new Cosmos client, the API. And the nice thing about the API is that it tells us, you know, what our options are. So let's select the item there. And then it wants a connection string. Let's get that connection string. We can do that. Let's get rid of this. But just right-clicking this and saying copy connection string. Is that not the greatest feature you've ever seen in your life? Copy connection string. I love it. Let's just put it in there, right? Don't look at my connection string. It's private info. I trust you. And then let's create a new database here. And again, we're using the API. Maybe we don't know that it's a database, but the API tells us so. And then it tells us the ID of the database. And ours is called Tailwind, I believe. Yeah, that's right. And then we need to pick a container. So let's do that. Say container equals database.container. There it is. And let's look at products. All right, we're cooking with gas. Now let's get at these products. How do we do this? We can do container.items.findAll.readAll. There we go. .fetchAll. There we go. That's going to return a promise, which has a response. And then we'll just log out some of the stuff that we've got here. Let's say response dot, I don't know, resources. That looks right. All right. So we basically just use the Cosmos DB API to create a program that will read our Cosmos DB database and spit out all of the products from the products container. Let's try to run this, see what happens. Let's just say node index.js. And boom, there they are. You can get a yellow hard hat with a tool bag pack. Sounds amazing. Rechargeable screwdriver. How about a rechargeable mic with an extra battery, Seth? Okay, I'll let that go. Now, this is how you can use an API to call a service that's, you know, remote and in the cloud. But a lot of times when you're building APIs like this, you don't actually want to do this in your code and then give this to someone. And the reason for that is because they would just be able to see your endpoint. And so instead, what we do is we create web APIs that we can call, and they securely hold information like this. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to let you drink from the fire hose today. We're going to create a new project here. And we're going to make a serverless project. And we're going to call it. Actually, let's put it in a folder called, I don't know, what should we call it? API? Let's put it in API. And we'll do JavaScript, and we're going to create an HTTP trigger, and we'll call this get products. Amazing. Anonymous authentication for now. We might want to implement our own authentication in the future. And so what this does is it creates an endpoint that we can call that might return some data. So what we really want to do is expose all of this via our endpoint. So let's bring this in and just, I don't know, let's just pull all this out. Let's just paste this in. Let's take this line and move it up. There we go. It's starting to look like some proper code. Let VS Code format it for us. Oh, it doesn't want to. Okay, and then down here, instead of doing a promise, what we could do, because we're in an async function, which is here, so we have this special ability to do this. Watch this. We can just do response equals, and then we don't need this. We don't need a promise anymore. And then down here, we could say response dot, and look, there's our resources. All right, so we changed it up a little bit. And it actually, I should have put in a wait here, and I didn't. And VS Code was smart enough, and it was like, nope, that won't work. You want to await. But that's kind of a hard code to understand. So let's change this around. Okay. I think that'll work. Looks like it'll work, right? But my endpoint's actually still in here, which I'm not a huge fan of. So I want to pull this out and I want to make it a setting, a project setting for my API. And I can do that. No, let's not move that. Let's go to this file and let's make a new setting. Let's call it, I don't know. How does connection string sound? It's nice and descriptive. There we go. Now we've got an application setting and now let's use that thing. So I don't need any quotes. We can just say process.env.connectionString. Okay. Now let's run this. Let's see how we're doing here. Okay. So this is our function project. So if we want to run it, we need to come to the run item here in the activity bar. And by the way, let me pause here for a second before I run this and we see how amazing it is to see data, products data. It's going to blow your mind. In the meantime, we should address the elephant in the room, which is the fact that my sidebar is on the right. And I know that's probably bothering a bunch of people at the moment. And I want to explain why I do that. So by default, I know this is a sidebar, but just go with me here. I'm going to toggle the sidebar position. So your editor probably looks like this. How many people's editor looks like this? Probably most people. By the way, dark themes or light themes? Let's do a poll. Let's do a poll. There is a right answer here. I'm not going to tell you what it is, though. Yeah, sidebar on the right. That's the way to go. So watch this while you're answering with your dark themes, that's the wrong answer. It's only light themes. Okay. So when I collapse the sidebar, which you do a lot in VS Code, so watch this, watch me do this and watch what happens to the code when I do it. You see what happens? See how the code like jumps around? You don't realize it, but whenever code like that moves, your eyes have to follow it and you lose your context. You don't realize it. Your brain's pretty good at resetting, but you're actually sort of tripping over your own feet when you do this. And so who put a pin there? And so let's move it. Let's toggle it. Toggle sidebar position. Now with it on the right, now I'm going to collapse it and watch the code. Just keep your eyes on the code. Look at that. Look at that. Amazing, is it not? Okay, that was for free. You didn't even have to pay for that. That was just for free. So let's run this and see what happens. So I'm going to go ahead and start this up. Yeah, Seth, did you stick a pin on my desk? It's really in my way. Threw it on the floor. All right. It's running here. Give it a second to prime the pumps, get the engine cooking. Yeah, I could use word wrap, couldn't I? Should I use word wrap? Let's wrap it. Wrap. Toggle word wrap. Is that better? Is that a little less hard on the eyeballs? This is a good suggestion. Absolution 183. Okay, let's click on this. And. What do we get? We get a JSON response. Okay, so just like that, we've created, and I don't know if this will work. I can't zoom in. Won't work on the streaming. We've created an API, and we can now call this from a front-end service. And let's do this. I'm going to put a breakpoint here. Let's come back and refresh our page. And let's take a look at this process object and then the connection string. And you can see there is the connection string for the database, which is being passed in from our local settings. Okay. Now, we could take this project. What we could do is and we could publish this to a function app. So let's find a function app. So let's create a new function app. Let's call it my API is awesome. Sweet, that one's free. Node 12, because we're cutting edge. Where shall we put it? Somewhere close to me, maybe central US. I'm in the central time zone. And now what this is gonna do is deploy this application up to Azure Functions, and then it will be available on the web. And then I could write an application using Angular or React or Vue or jQuery. It's still okay to use jQuery. And I could write this and then I could call this API with that application. Now, the question is always, how do I call the API from the front end? That's where it gets tough, right? With authentication and all that. When we look at, for instance, something like, so let's look at GitHub's API here. There it is. So when we look at GitHub's API, and actually we could just go to api.github.com, and because I'm already authenticated, it gives us back some JSON, which is nice. But this is exactly what GitHub is doing. It's just got some services, just like we wrote, behind the scenes, and then it exposes that for you to use. The only thing that it adds onto the front is an authentication mechanism called OAuth, which is an entirely different subject. We won't get into that. But just know that when you're looking at an API, that's what's going on behind the scenes. Is there's actual code executing. It's just it's exposed to you as a URL. And so we call those web APIs. Okay. So we're finished with our DIM. So let's summarize here. An API is an application programming interface. It's what the acronym stands for. And it is how your code talks to other code or services. That's really it. It's more of a concept or a descriptive term than it is a thing. Many things can be APIs, depending on if it's code calling other code. There's three types. It's your code, someone else's code, and the last type we looked at, which was web services. Now, because I love you all so very much, I've created a learn module where you can do this. So if you go to aka.ms/learn-api, learn-api, give everybody a few minutes to go to that URL, you will get a learn module that teaches you how to create that API that you just saw and y'all, how to consume it with a web page using Vue. That's my personal fave, but I'm not going to judge. There's no wrong way to do it. And you can build your own application that consumes a web API. And hopefully I have demystified the concept of an API for you. If you weren't sure what an API is, perhaps now you feel better about it. I hope so. I think I know what one is. Sometimes I'm still confused, but thank you for having me. Let's see if we've got any questions here. Everyone loves Vue. I agree, Cecil. Vue's pretty rad. You're very welcome. Happy Homemaker. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Thank you, Mark. It's always good to see you. Mark's always around. Mark's rad. You are so welcome. Oh, you're Misty. That's why, because we're parting, because it's such sweet sorrow. How can you learn to play the guitar like me? Well, hopefully you play it better than I do. It's not good. In fact, legally, I'm not supposed to own a guitar in Nashville. I'm kind of breaking the law. Actually, when you move here, they you have to test, right? And if you're not good, then you can't get a guitar license. My favorite Amber Lynn album? Cities. Come on, what kind of question is that, right? It's essentially the Joshua Tree of Amber Lynn albums. All right, thank you, folks. I appreciate you having me here. I think with that, are we ready to go back to the studio or are we gonna twitch a little bit longer? Buffalo sauce in his veins. Yeah, I got buffalo sauce. I love wings. Kick it back. All right. Seth, I hope your mic's working. Let's send it back to Seth. Who's ready for more dad jokes? Let's get some.
I stole that camera back from Seth because we're having a dad joke moratorium for the next half an hour. Thank you. Burke, I love you. You're fabulous, but light theme? Really, dude? Really? Because I'm dying. I'm physically like... And that right side bar thing? No. I understand your logic and reasoning. I just can't. No. But... hopefully you're all seeing this random argument we're having, and we tech people are so neurotic about the most strange things, and we are set in our way, ready to die on the hill of dark theme, no matter what, random, dark like my soul, right? This is just like how we are, and that's okay, because we fight over the most weird things.
That's right. By the way, I was also kicked out of Nashville because I did not have a guitar license. I don't know how he's allowed to be there. Mm-hmm. But like I told you, he is literally a super funny guy, a little less funny than me, of course, but still funny nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.